Now this morning we come to a passage that most of us are familiar with, and it is appropriate that it should be mentioned on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because as you probably know, it is a story about 10 lepers who ask Jesus for mercy and they receive it, but one comes back and says to Jesus, "Thank you." And isn't that what Thanksgiving is really about? Isn't it about giving thanks? And so we proceed today to hear this story again. Hopefully, we will be open to hear it as if it were the first time we've ever heard it. Hopefully, we will hear it with the ears of foreigners, people who are new to certain traditions and who are eager to learn them. Now, at the very beginning of this story in Luke, we find Jesus in the area of the Galilee. In verses 12 through 13 say, as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, in the ancient Middle East, leprosy was a kind of a generic term used to describe a variety of skin illnesses, anything from psoriasis to leprosy. And anyone who had been diagnosed with leprosy was not allowed to mingle with people in general, and they were actually required to wear a bell so that people could hear them coming and get out of the way in time. Now, this explains why those 10 stood at a distance. But add to this the fact that someone could only be pronounced cured of leprosy on the authority of a priest, as dictated by the law in Leviticus 3, 9 through 17. So they have precedent for this whole situation that we walk into the middle of today. Now, in verse 14, it says this, Jesus looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So they're walking along to go see the priest. Jesus hasn't touched them at all. He hasn't even given them words of encouragement, actually. And they look down and they realize that their skin has cleared up. So even though their request was for mercy, Jesus cleansed them of the very thing that kept them isolated from society. It turns out he gave them much more than they asked for. He gave them a chance to become part of society again without stigma or illness. He sent them out together to start their new lives, and that in itself would make a pretty good story. But there's more. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Now notice that the word cleansed changes to healed in verse 15. This is significant. The Samaritan was able to recognize that his entire life was about to change. He understood the implications of Jesus's actions as way more than just cleared up skin. He understood that he could now be a welcome member in society, that he would be able to now live a productive and meaningful life. And so he returned to Jesus and thanked him for healing, not cleansing, healing. Jesus gave him way more than he asked for. And this Samaritan, this foreigner, wanted to acknowledge the gift. Now it took courage for someone who not only had leprosy, but also was a Samaritan, to go back and throw himself at Jesus' feet, giving praise and glory to God. So when the Samaritan returns, Jesus says, "Well, where are the other 9? Didn't I cleanse 10 people?" You see, we have this tendency to judge those other nine as ungrateful, even though Jesus casts no such judgment on them. In fact, he doesn't even mention the fact that they didn't thank him. He just wants to know where they are, and he makes mention of the fact that only one came back to say thank you. Beginning in verse 17, he says, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Not say thank you, but to give glory to God. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you," because he thanked Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't mention the fact that the other nine didn't say thank you. He only says they didn't give glory to God. They didn't give God the credit for their healing. In verse 14, when those lepers are cleansed, remember I said there was a change between cleansed and healing? The Greek word is iaome, which usually refers to physical healing. But in verse 19, when Jesus tells the Samaritan that his faith has healed him, the word he uses is sozo, a word that literally means to save. Jesus' actions that day brought salvation to that Samaritan. That's much bigger than mere cleansing. He received so much more than physical healing, and so he took the time to thank God and to give God the glory. You see, in this story, the physical outcome for all 10 was the same. But sozo takes healing to a much deeper place than mere physical healing or physical cleansing. Sozo speaks of salvation and of healing that occurs from the inside out. Now, we Methodists don't talk a lot about salvation. In fact, I would say that some of us avoid that word altogether. And I'm going to get really, really kind of in your face here. But some of us believe that that word "I have been saved" or that word "salvation" carries with it connotations of backward, uneducated Christians. Some of us do carry that kind of judgment around, mainly because people who talk about being saved and even tell you the date it happened can come across as uneducated and backwards. But that doesn't change the fact that salvation is a real thing. Healing, salvation, and healing are much deeper than mere cleansing. Anybody here ever cleaned your house? Have you ever heard that term, deep cleaning? If you hire someone to do deep cleaning, they charge more than if you just asked them to clean the house. Am I right? All the ladies are going like this. The men are going, "I don't even know what this means. I'm sorry." Some of you guys do. But there's a reason they charge more. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes determination. It takes meticulousness. And it takes heart to do the deep cleaning that a house even requires. I can't clean the house and not clean, or I can't deep clean the house and not clean the baseboards or clean out the pantry or refrigerator or wash and change the sheets on every bed or go through and get rid of things I no longer need. Deep cleaning is way more than just kind of straightening things up. Deep cleaning is hard, hard work. And most of us don't like to do the deep cleaning in ourselves that is required to bring about healing, which again is different from cleansing on the surface. Most of us in our daily lives and in questions of the heart are satisfied with surface cleaning. getting rid of the unsightly skin disease without recognizing the actual source of our sickness. Most of us don't take the time to give thanks to the one who heals us from the inside out. If we are able to go deep and clean out the garbage that we all carry around inside of us, how many of us take the time to say, "Thank you, Lord. You've given me a new life unburdened by the anger and bitterness I carry." I've heard so many people talk about the way they forgave someone and how hard they worked and how they went to this counselor or read this book. But never once is God mentioned in as being a participant in that healing. We cannot heal ourselves, although there are some who say we can. Our best chance at healing, which again is deeper than cleansing, is to practice gratitude and to praise and glorify God on a regular basis. In our human weakness, we have this idea that faith makes us well if we have enough of it. But that's not what happens in this story. Faith makes us well because it makes us put our trust in God. Think of someone you know who has great faith. I'm going to give you a second on that. Somebody you can, it's probably somebody who walks around in this building all the time. Think of someone you know who has great faith. Have you ever heard that person say something like, "Well, my prayers just don't work"? Or have you ever heard somebody like that say, "Well, God just doesn't seem to like me very much"? Karl Barth was fond of saying that the basic human response to God is gratitude, not fear and trembling, not guilt and dread, but thanksgiving. And I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. You know, C.S. Lewis was an atheist for most of his life, a college professor who relied only on what he could prove. He was like this for many, many years before he came to know God on a personal level. And I've given you this quote before, but just in case you forgot it, this is what C.S. Lewis found out as he explored this new faith that he embraced. He said, "I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised least." And here it is. "Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. What comes out of people's mouth is usually a sign of their inner health. And so those who are praising God have some pretty good inner health going on." But if that's not enough for you, here's something else. Robert Emmons, a psychology professor, has been doing research on gratitude and its effects on healing. This is a real thing. It's not like a made-up story. His findings have proven that a state of gratitude can contribute to one's overall health, both physical and mental. In his findings, he says, gratitude research is beginning to suggest that feelings of thankfulness have tremendous positive value in helping people cope with daily problems, especially stress. Now, I hate to even have to mention that someone is looking at gratitude scientifically, but some of us need that to be convinced. Our Samaritan in this story, he didn't need a scientific report to thank God and praise him. He only knew that as a result of his encounter with Jesus, his life would change. And he thanked God for putting him in the right place at the right time. We don't know why those other nine didn't come back and thank God. It's not even important. What's important is this: the Samaritan, the foreigner, did come back and thank God, and he was healed from the inside out, not just on the surface. And so, in some ways, I guess our healing is in our hands, but only to the extent that we make gratitude to God part of our healing experience. We all have hurts and wounds and abuse that we carry with us every single day. One way to do the deep cleaning in our hearts is to be grateful and to say it out loud to God. Thank you, Lord. Anne Lamott, y'all heard of Anne Lamott? She's a spiritual writer, and she came to Christianity late in life. She was one of those foreigners that we might be hearing about in this story. And she says that her morning prayer is always, help me, help me, help me. And her evening prayer is always, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can all remember those two prayers. Now, as one who learns through music, I'm going to teach y'all how to sing a song of thanks to God. It's easy. You don't need the words. It's repetitive, and you're going to love it. You can say thank you right now. And it goes like this. I'll sing it first, and then if you can start anytime, just come ahead. But then we'll sing it again at the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the thing you've given me. I've forgotten the words, but I'm still grateful. Been so good. Been so good. Been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Saved my I finally pulled it out. Y'all ready? We're going to sing all of those together. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Been so good. Been so good. Been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Saved my soul. Saved my soul. Saved my soul. Saved my soul. I just want to thank you, Lord. That's an old song. That's not like one of those new fancy songs. That's a very old song, and every one of us can sing those words every single day. Thank you, Lord. been so good and saved my soul. Living as one who's grateful, even for the hard things in life. I heard a guy one time say, God gave me a broken leg, and I am so grateful for that. I went, what? He said, I was laid up in bed for 6 weeks. It gave me time to think. It gave me time to praise God and to invite him into my life again. That's how we live grateful lives, by looking at the hard things and being able to thank God in the midst of them. Keep that in your mind. Thanksgiving is more than one day a year. It's every single day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.